I just have so much goodness to share with you, and I feel inadequate in the feeling of being adequate in relating to you what I feel like God has laid on my heart. And this is both tied to last week, because this is where I'm living, and what I'm sharing is an overflow. It's flowing out of my journey with the Lord and the things that I begin to see about the kingdom, and it's all glorious. Jeremiah 29:11 is becoming more and more real to me, that God has a future for me, a future of good and not of bad or evil, but of hope. And you know, for them that was originally written to, from Jeremiah to God's people, was speaking of the future. And that hope is Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And so it's not something yet to attain, but it's something that dwells in the believer. And it's not just a wishing. It is a hope, is a guarantee. That's the guarantee. Hope is not wishing for something yet unattained, but biblical hope is something that I have now that guarantees, that's solid, cannot be taken away. Let me tell you something. If you know that you have something that cannot be taken away or revoked, that's pretty good security, don't you think? That's real hope, knowing that something can't be taken away. So I'm going to share this morning regarding last week, and if you didn't get a chance to hear that online, I'd just encourage you to go there and listen to what I believe the Holy Spirit had us to talk about last Sunday. But it was about feelings. And I shared with you that I grew up in an environment, a religious church environment, where we were very standoffish to our feelings, that really, in a real sense, that our feelings didn't come from God, but our feelings were to be kept in check all the time, avoided, and ignored. That was the dark side of us. You know what I'm saying there? Okay. Well, let me tell you, we don't have a dark side anymore, because the fullness of Godhead bodily was in Jesus Christ, and therefore we are complete. There is no good wolf and bad wolf in us, and that the strongest one survives because that's the one that gets fed the most. No, sir. The wolf is gone. He's dead, and he's buried. And we have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus right here. And fully so. You get that? Fully so. Amen. And so in my journey, in most recent journeys, the reason I shared with it, because I would feel that if whatever God is leading me to understand, and if I don't share that, now I may not be an expert in it, I'll tell you, I'm not. But if I don't share the glories of the truth of God's goodness and the kingdom, if I don't share that, I feel like, and it may be the reason I feel like, is because God gave us a picture in the Old Testament. I don't know if you remember this story, but Jerusalem was surrounded and sieged by the enemy. And they set up camp for a long time. You understand that they had a wall around the city, but the crops and the water was outside of the city. And so when the army would come in and set siege, they could eventually starve them out, have them come out or make a treaty or starve them out or whatever. And so during this time, I believe it was during the time of Elisha, and the city had been sieged by the enemy, and they'd camped for a long time. The town was reduced to eating their babies. And a prophecy came forward that said, by this time tomorrow, there will be such an abundance. Their present living and their present experience was one of poverty, starvation, death, and cannibalism. But a man of God heard from heaven and said, by this time tomorrow, this is just my modern day terms, a loaf of bread will be sold on the market for 5 cents. Imagine the believers just springing up and giving praise to God. No, they didn't. They began to mock and said, hey, this guy is crazy. That's the thing about God's goodness and His revelation, is that people will think you crazy. You know why? Because that's too good to be true. That's too good news to be true. And so what happened was, is that God caused fear in the heart of the enemy. How many of you catch that? That's a sermon all of its own. Fear does not belong in God's family. It belongs to the enemy. So let's send it back to him. What really makes the enemy fearful is when we come to the realization of who we are, that we are sons of God. And what he has, we have as well. That'll put him on the run. Amen? But the real problem, the battle, is our thinking, our mind, the belief of our heart. So what happened in that story was that God caused them to be afraid, and that army left, leaving all of their wealth and riches and provisions and all of this. Well, there were these outcasts of the city whom the enemy didn't care about. They were not allowed in the city in the first place. Although they were citizens, they weren't allowed because of the disease. They were outside of the city. And they got up that morning and no army, no people, but all their stuff is there. So they went out there and they just started hoarding it until one of them said, guys, this ain't right. They're eating the babies in town. We better share this with them. And guys, that's the way I feel. That when God shares with me a better understanding of His abundance and the glory of the kingdom and the treasures of the kingdom, that if I don't share them with you, I'd be like those guys hoarding them good things out there. But I'm going to ask your grace. Because these things that I'm receiving and that I'm experiencing in these last few weeks and months, I feel like a kid in it. I feel like at a preschool level. So I may get a few details wrong, may get a few things wrong, but I'm willing to do that because I believe that as a whole, these truths are true, and I want you to begin to experience the abundance of the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit will take what that evidence that I see, that I present with you, to you, and I'm just believing the Holy Spirit will help you weed out whatever is wrong, but whatever is right, you're going to end up with a chunk of gold, if you can understand what I'm saying, okay? So in the area of feelings, I've had a major shift and change in thinking that, number one, God created me with feelings, so He must have had purpose for my feelings. Now maybe this means a lot more to women than it does men. Although men do have feelings, ladies, sometimes you feel, well, he doesn't feel anything. Where's his feelings? Well, he's got them. He just handles them a little different than you do. And we men and women operate in different ways. But I don't care who you are, as stoic of a person you might be, you have feelings. God put them in there. God created you with feelings. So it's not something to be ignored. I didn't say this last week, but I want to make it a big part of this today. Embrace your feelings. Embrace your feelings. Don't ignore them. Don't discredit them. Don't devalue them. But I'm challenging you to embrace them. Now, I didn't say give in to all of your feelings. Okay? Or we'd probably all be up to a mountain in debt. Okay? Ooh, I feel like I want this new car, new house, and this property, and this boat, and this reel. And, you know, ladies, what is it? The latest mixer, I don't know what you guys like, but and be in debt up over our heads, okay? So I'm not saying give in to your feelings, but be aware of them. And here's where really is a glorious understanding. From Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. Above all things, that's the way it actually starts that verse. Above all, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Your heart has everything to do with why you are here today. Your house is where it is today. Your job is like it is today. You are at that job today, and it all has to do with your heart. The course of your life is determined by your heart. Some of you had a determination to be farmers, truck drivers, preachers, teachers, nurses, doctors, counselors. All of those things come because there was something in your heart, and there are feelings that are attached to those. Don't disregard, devalue, or ignore those feelings, but I am challenging you to embrace them, because that is where the feelings are part of your heart. It's a part of your very core of who you are. Are you a little got question marks over your head? Let me challenge you with this. This word came to me this morning. You see, we've always give a little bit of credibility to our feelings. Let's say persons who are more spiritual, if you will. They think about God. They think about how God leading them. And this is what they'll say. When they're expressing it to their spouse, to their children, to other people, they say, I feel that the Holy Spirit, what did you just say? I feel. Because feelings are down in here. You don't feel from your fingertips. Now, I'm talking of emotions here, obviously. Our feeling happens right in here somewhere. Now, I'm going to talk about a specific area where we are engaged with our heart. And I want to say this again, at the risk of being redundant. It is with our heart that we engage with God. With those feelings that our heart has, and all that is the very core of who we are, it is with our heart, our spirit, is how we engage with God. God is spirit. So do we engage with God with our other triune parts, our soul, or the soul intellectual part? Yes, we do. Do we engage with God with our bodies? Well, you're here, right? You're here. We engage with God with our whole person. But here's where a great mistake of people who are Christians, I would say, is that they think that God is always wanting us to perform in such a way, and always that goes to our physical bodies. You got to do this. That's where rules come in. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do something else. And when you behave in such a way, therefore, God will love you, God will bless you, God will forgive you, God will accept you, God will even save you if you'll do something with your body. But that's not the case. The Bible says we are to believe. See, the Scripture also says that He is touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. Look. He is touched with our feelings. There's how we connect with our God, engage with God, engage with a heart. That's how we engage with God, with our feelings. And so I brought those scriptures out last week, and I don't want to re-preach those. But I do want to speak about one specific area, because it will touch everybody's life. I don't care who you are. It'll touch that little baby, Lissa's, wrong baby. Isabella, this is back there. This issue will touch every life. And it's the issue that people start looking for the exit door of the church when the preacher starts talking about it. Not sex, guys. Come on, get your mind off of that. They do that too. They go out, they look, start looking for the door because it comes uncomfortable. But money. Money. People get uncomfortable when we start talking about money. You know why? Because most of the time in the church is going say, like that. Wow. You know, this crazy church down in Houston, I forget which one it is now. I don't know. God had blessed the church. Pretty good sized church. God had blessed the church, and they had a service. Everybody, all the members came, and it was a service. They promoted it as a good time in the Lord. They had this billionaire that had come in, and he had them all lined up, write down what your debts are, your businesses, your houses, and he paid off the debts of the whole church. Wow. Wow. Can I say it? Holy cow. No, that's really holy. And I just thought, wow, that is so awesome. But I should not think that is so strange that the kingdom cannot do something like that. Wow. Brother Harold shared with us a church that had a blessing Sunday or something, and different ways they got these refrigerators and washers and drivers, and had a blessing Sunday, and they just blessed the community. It wasn't just for church members. They come up and they gave away washers and drivers. You know, I think that we probably ought to expand the borders of our heart and the boundaries that we have set, because this thing that we call the kingdom of God is so much more glorious than we have discovered. But we can take baby steps as long as we're going in the right direction, right? Okay, so I'm going to talk about money today. And I want to talk about tithing. And I have had a disappointing past in my life because I misunderstood scriptures. It was the boundaries of my heart that did not like... was fearful, and I didn't want to. I haven't preached on it much, a little bit, but it seemed that it always, I felt, resulted in the best results, ended in the best results, if I bring Haggai in there, where it says in the scriptures that you have robbed God, and you have robbed Him because you haven't paid your tithe. And you are under a curse for that because you didn't pay your tithe. And by the way, the message included, you don't give your tithe, you pay your tithe. Okay? So you've heard me say from time to time after coming into grace that tithe is really only mentioned about 3 times in the New Testament. It is also true that the tithe was not initiated by the law of Moses. However, a curse was attached to that under the law if they didn't tithe. Now listen to me. Gentiles, if you're a Gentile, you and your people were never under the law in the first place. Paul said we were without law. Churches all over America are still operating under the belief, a mistaken belief, that they're under the law. Maybe not fully, but now, partially, we can go ahead and eat shrimp and lobster, guys, but all this other stuff, you know? So they parcel out things that they agree for themselves is okay, and then excuse what they're doing is excusing themselves while accusing others, okay? And so, in the area of tithing, I've had a major shift. And when I saw the scripture didn't suddenly show up. It was in my Bible, all 34 of them. That I am no longer under a curse, because cursed is he that hangs on a tree, and Jesus was cursed for me, therefore there is no more curse for me. Hallelujah. We are not under the curse of the law. We're not even under the blessings of the law, because the blessing of the law said, if you will do this, then I will bless you with this. No, we're blessed because of Jesus. We're blessed because we are sons of God. Has nothing to do with the law.
Whew!
Let's kick the law to the curb. I'm done with you. So, this is what I have observed. People struggle with knowing what to do with freedom. Now, let's get in the flesh just a little bit here, okay? We're just 1 minute, we're going to get in the flesh. Our northern neighbors, the Canadians, when I see some of the things that they are for, me and my friends will talk about it and say, they really don't know what freedom is like. Our freedoms in this country are being attacked. They're chipping at them, trying to whittle, come in the back door, and all these things. But it's indicative of the church. Indicative, young people, means indicative of. It indicates something, a belief of our heart. And here's what I see in the church, in the body of Christ, is that many, many Christians don't know what to do with freedom. They don't know what to do with freedom in Christ, because what they have been raised with is rules. They have been raised with directions. Take a step forward. Take a step sideways. Turn around. Take another step this way. Turn to the right. Take a step this way. And Christian religion has become rules and directions. Grace says this. Listen fully to what I say. Don't take this first sentence and run off the track. Okay? Here's what freedom says. You're free. Do what you want. Oh, so I'm going to go back there and I don't have to go through rules and this. I'm just going to go like this. Or, if I want to do it for the journey, I go like this. Now, if you thought I said it's okay to sin, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Because the Spirit of God changes your motives. Your unholy, sinful motives turn into godly, God-glorifying, and people-loving motives. What would love do? Okay? So, here's what we are moving away from. We're moving away from a list of rules and commands in order for God to smile on us. We're moving away from that. Thank God, Grace Life Church is down the road a little bit, but guess what? We still have friends and relatives. That think this is the life with God. And if you make one false move, better look out. God's going to slap you across the face. You know, the ones who really slap is ourselves. You know, you don't need God's revelation to not step off of this peak of this church. You know why? You know, it's not the fall that's going to hurt you. It's the sudden stop. So you get on a ladder. That happened to me once. We had a big storm. Some shingles fell or got blown off of there. And like an idiot, I decided, I'm going to do this myself. Got me a ladder. Set it up right over here. No one was here. I'm doing the work. God's going to be so proud of me putting up those things. I hear a noise. No ladder. Yeah. Oh, man. First time I ever rappelled was off of that cable we put from up there over here, and I rappelled down that cable to get off of this building. I don't know why I told you that. It was just stupid, you know. So freedom. I want to talk to you about feelings of freedom in regard to money. Because it is a part of everybody's life. Do you know what? I learned this in Bible college in our counseling class. They were teaching us how to counsel with people. And they taught us the three big issues in relationships. Sex, money, and communication. Those are the big three. Typically, when there's a problem in a marriage, it's going to come to one of those, probably two of those, and more of three, and the third one. I've had counseling situations where there are 15. I don't know how these guys ever got married in the first place. But all those 15 boil down to three things: communication, money, and sex. So we're going to talk about money. And engaging with God with our money. I just received this morning an email. Crazy thing that this would happen, but that's the way the kingdom works. I received an email from a pastor friend of mine. He said, hey, brother, I want you to look at this article that I wrote because I wrote it for a pastor's blog, and I'd just like your feedback on this. Maybe I need to change some things. Maybe you see something, or maybe I intended to say something didn't come through, but I want your feedback. So he said, he's sending this article. He said, when I came into grace, my view of tithing changed, very similar to what I shared with you. And he said, I had started this church in Missouri. He said, I started this church, and we were growing, and it was growing pretty well. He said, our finances were staying right at $1,500 a week. Went on Sunday morning offerings, went $1,500 a week. And he said, and so when I began to preach that there was no curse for not tithing, he said, people got a hold of that, and our offerings went down to $300 a week. And I thought, that coincides with my observations. People don't know how to live in freedom. They don't know what to do with freedom. We are programmed to need rules and instructions. Okay? So in our giving or our surrendering, I'm not going to say giving or tithing right now, but in our surrendering of our monetary resources. Boy, that was a long one, see, so just go ahead and say tithe, okay, or giving. In regard to that, that right there kind of showed me that there, we still are dealing with this issue of then what are we to do? You see, because they're led by rules and commandments. Okay, this is what I'm supposed. This is what the manual says. It says, step forward, step sideways. But when those rules were removed, the law of Moses, when those rules were removed, they go, what do I do? So what replaced the rules, which you Gentiles were never under in the first place? What replaced the rules? People all over America go to church on Sunday morning because that's what I was raised to do. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get involved in voluntary positions and things of the church because that's what you're supposed to do. This is what the manual says, that I'm supposed to do this and that. So when that rule book, the law is removed, where do I go? How do I know to go? How do I know where to go? How do I know how far to go? You know what replaces that? Put the verse up, if you will. This replaced the rules. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So what replaced the rules? So that we would know what to do, the good things to do, and what we shouldn't do that is destructive and harmful, like stepping off of the peak of a church. This is what replaces the rules. Being led by the Spirit of God. That's how we know. And here's what's going to happen. What did Jesus say about the Spirit? And this is the very same Spirit, the Spirit of God. When Jesus was in His earthly ministry, He said to His followers, He said, "Hey guys, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you without a counselor." He said, "I'm going to send another..." Uh-oh. Another... Does that have anything? His very name, Comforter, have any tie to feelings? How many know that comfort is a great feeling, unrest is not a good feeling? Worry, stress, and anger leave you with bad feelings. Now, there might be a whole lot of other science there, but I'm going to tell you, I never felt good under stress. I never felt good under worry. But the Holy Ghost sure made me feel good. So people who say, "Well, they only preach that greasy grace, that feel-good gospel." Welcome home, buddy. Because the good news makes me feel good. So we embrace our feelings. And our feelings are going to be involved with being led by the Spirit of God. Illustration. I can go to the back of this room and I can choose four different paths. I can go down that one, down this one, down this one, down this aisle, or down this aisle. I wonder which one I should take. This one has somewhat of an obstacle in it. I would have to step by over here. That one is going to take a few more steps. That one would be an equal amount of steps. And these two, why, they've got pretty people I could enjoy on my way back. Yeah. Over here as well. So what? And then when I consider that, I say, "Lord, here is what the Scripture says. Follow after peace." You see that feeling involved there? You know that peacefulness is a great feeling. It feels good. Worry doesn't feel good. He says, "Follow after peace." So if I consider that option and that option and that option and that option and that option, and this is the one, the only one with an obstacle in it, and I just, for whatever reason, I don't feel good about that one, or that one, but the one with the obstacle, that's the one I feel good about. The Comforter comforted me. So what about our giving? I want to leave you with this, that if you don't tithe, you are not under a curse from God. But here's where God engages your life, is with your heart, including the feelings, based on the Word of God. There are promises in the Word of God that if I give, He will see that the kingdom gives back to me a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That feels good. You don't need no rule. You don't need no commandment. You don't need any threat of a curse in order to give. What do you do with freedom? Man, I can give this. Guess what? Amen. Let the voice of the child lead them. Amen. I think that's scripture. If it isn't, it ought to be. What if the Holy Spirit made me feel good about giving 50% of my check? Guess what? Or 100%. Guess what? There's a promise that exists that makes me feel really good, that when I give, the kingdom will give back to me good measure. I wish I had a communion cup. You know, we ought to take communion cups out of a gallon jug. That kind of communion. Yeah. And so, it would be juice, not wine, okay? We don't want to be walking out of here a bunch of sots. But the kingdom is so much more valuable, filled with the wealth of God. And you know what? Those who are led by the Spirit will be generous. Wait, what do you mean? Think about Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit came, people were experiencing this thing that had never happened before, just swept off of their feet by Holy God and He embracing them with their love. They've never felt anything like it. It was so glorious they couldn't even use their own language to say thank you. They had to speak it gibberish, tongues, to say thank you, because the people outside said, what is this that these uneducated Galileans are doing, because they're speaking our language, but they are giving glory to God. Wow. Know this, that the promises of God remains, and it's a promise of blessing. And I like what Billy Joe Daugherty said. He said, when you give, it never leaves your life. It just leaves your hand. And then it comes back into your hand. And I'm going to tell you, engage God with your feelings. And here's what's going to happen. A thought could come to your mind. Oh, I want to give $100 to you today. That would bring so much joy. And see, here's the thing. If your giving brings fear, know that that feeling is not from God. Because the feeling of the Holy Ghost is comfort. And so you're just thinking, God, I want to, oh, it feels so good. I want to give you $100. And your wife leans over and says, what shall we give today? $250? You go to prayer. You're forcing yourself to pray because you're thinking of the electric bill. You think, I got to pay the Netflix bill this week. Let me tell you, the kingdom's bigger than Netflix. And all of a sudden, a peace comes over your heart. And husbands have to go, she was right. We hate saying that. She was right. And so that goes out. Know this, that you're never given to the church, you're given to God. The church may use that money in a way that you disagree, but you're off the hook because you didn't give it to the church, you gave it to God. It's in His hands. But here's the thing. Being led by the Holy Spirit, even if it seems in the natural tough to do, or it may not even make logical sense, but when the Holy Spirit gives you that comfort and affirmation in your heart, can I tell you this? Run with it. It's like being led by the Spirit is like driving at night. Let me tell you something. Let me say that again. Being led by the Spirit is like driving at night from California to New York. Okay? How do you get from California to New York at night? With headlights, they'll only shine out about 20 feet. But when you do go that 20 feet, you're going to end up clear on the other coast. Let me tell you, that is the kingdom. We just do what the Holy Spirit leads. You don't worry about the destination. You just enjoy the present. You enjoy the feeling. You enjoy the comfort. And the kingdom is going to make way for you. It is a destination of success. Whew. Glory. Some of you are thinking about changing your job. Do you have fear about that? Or do you have a good feeling about that? Don't make a decision until you have a good feeling. Can I put a little Cecil advice? I would say don't even quit the job till the other one's, you know, in there. You know, there's a difference between faith and foolishness. But what I just wanted to challenge you today is don't use rules anymore to be guided. You use the Spirit of God. And notice this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he doesn't say those who are led by the Spirit of God become the sons of God. You're not becoming a son of God, but by being led by the Spirit. That is a proof. He said, you know that you are a son of God when you're being led by the Spirit, not being led by self-effort and rules and regulations and commandments. And guess what? In Christ, whatever rules and regulations, whatever it was to be made right with God, because of your godly nature and being led by the Spirit, all of those rules are going to be met. Any rule that God required to be right with Him is going to be automatically met by God's character living in you and you being led by the Spirit. And here's the final thing we're going to quit. The Holy Spirit never condemns you. The Holy Spirit never condemns you for the mistake that you made. Missing the mark. Oh, I sinned. The Holy Spirit said, yeah, buddy. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Actually, what happens is the Holy Spirit does His speaking before the event. And He'll say, Cecil, don't go down that path. I have the right way, a better way, a freedom way. And the result won't be... What did Proverbs say? There's a way that seems right to the man, but the end thereof is death. The Spirit of life will lead you in the path of life. Hallelujah. And Jesus will say, this is the way we really ought to get up every morning. Hey, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And I think you'll hear the Lord say, well, what do you want to do today? I'm with you. I've given you freedom. And now let's glorify the Father together. Isn't it good? Engage those feelings. Engage them in your giving. Amen? I'm not going to tell you that you are cursed and that you can expect all kinds of bad things happen to you when you haven't written your tithe check. But I can tell you this. You give out of freedom of your heart, being led by the Spirit. Engage the Spirit in your giving. Say, Lord, what would you have me to give? The Holy Spirit gives a number, and you say, that feels good. And then He might say, well, what about this? And you say, oh, that don't feel so good. I think I'll just give this other one. You give the one that you felt good about. God will not hold it against you for the ones you didn't feel good, but it's going to be something good that'll happen that week, and you're going to end up giving more and more than you ever dreamed you could over a period of time as you grow in this. Amen? I just had something happen this morning that you wouldn't believe, and I don't have time to tell you. But it confirmed to me that what God had laid on my heart is absolutely true. I can't guarantee it. But He does. He says in His Word, you give, and I will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your lap. So when you give, expect a better job. Expect a pay raise. Expect more customers. Expect renters that actually pay. Because they too have good jobs and they're not suffering. So when your renters are not paying up, what do? Let's not curse them. I'm not saying don't evict them, but I'm saying let's pray over them. Say, God, let me have an opportunity to share your goodness with them. And God, I'm going to pray your blessing over them. Give them a good job. Hey, let's quit cursing people when it doesn't go our way. Let's start blessing people. Because what? The kingdom says what we give in blessings will come back to me, blessings in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen? Do you receive that? Isn't God a good God? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. 12:01. We're out about 15 minutes early, but that's okay, right? talking about blessings. If you give me 5 minutes, I'll give you 5 minutes, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the blessing that is ours in Christ Jesus. Lord, you said everything has been given to us regarding life and godlikeness. So thank you, Father. I pray over those who are in a state of decision. Lord, who are wondering what to do with their personal finances, with their job, with their family. Lord, with things regarding the community. Lord, I pray over every one of these things because you care. Lord, it was a glorious day that I understand that you care about what I care about. Thank you, Father, that you care about those things. Lord, I pray that you bless the farmers. Father, I pray, Lord, what would seek to come in and destroy their profitability, Lord, we put a stop to that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, whatever thoughts that the farmers, the truck drivers, the business owners, the teachers, the retirees, Lord, the supervisors, whomever they are, you care about every area in every human life. We're all uniquely different, but Lord, your kingdom is given to us that it will prosper us no matter what area of life. Lord, I pray over the students, Lord. School started. I pray over the students that their thoughts will be clear. Lord, that what they study, they will retain, get good grades. Lord, and find employers out there who are drawn to them, that your favor is on them. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Customers, more customers, good customers. Lord, that for those who have stores and retail, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise that your kingdom has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, flock of God, don't be afraid. Don't fear. God's got you. Amen. God bless you. Let's get out there. Let's give them heaven.